As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
It's not about me. I'm only here for a minute, and I know that I can't fix it. I can help even just a little bit. Won't you let me try?
Hello, welcome to our Laz and Powers. This is Scott Powers, joined by Mark Lazarus, as always. We're both of The Athletic. It's Tuesday. Yes, Mark?
I've lost all track of time.
Everything will be counted in post-Bedard lottery days at this point. Post 7 days, 8 days.
It's funny though, like when you're in the regular season, you think of everything about the next game. Like, okay, there's a game on Thursday. So you know it's Tuesday. You know it's Wednesday. But once you get into the offseason, I lose complete track of date and time. If my kids didn't have school, I wouldn't know whether it was a weekend or a weekday. I would have no idea. It's just all blurs together.
Yeah. My 5-year old still, like, she doesn't have a full firm grasp of the 7 days. So, like, she'll be at school for 5 days and it's the weekend, and she'll just ask, like, do I have school tomorrow? Do I have school today? Like, it's every day. I sometimes need to figure that out too. So,
gotta learn the Days of the Week song. It goes to the Addams Family's and Days of the Week.
Yeah.
We all teach that. Come on.
Yeah, so they will work on that. As last week, the Connor Bedard content, and as we are writing and speaking, it will continue here for a bit. We have Regina Pats, but he's a man of all trades. There, he's the head coach, the GM, and the VP of hockey operations. I think those are all his titles.
He's a former NHL head coach. He coached the Jets. He's been an assistant with the Ottawa Senators. He was with the Flyers during the 2010 Cup final, I believe.
Yeah,
he has been around. Yep. He's been around a long time. He's
John Paddock. I don't think I mentioned his name. So his name is John Paddock.
Oh, my bad. I jumped in there too fast. It seemed like you were trailing off.
I was looking. I was pulling up his title.
he's been with the Pats for a long time. He was the coach, and then he was just the GM, and now he's the coach and the GM again. So we had him on the show to discuss. Not certain, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Everyone's like all being coy about it. The fact that the Blackhawks can't say that Connor Bedard is already a Chicago.
I'm sure they could say it if they wanted to, right? Like,
I guess. I mean, I guess there's some theoretical potential leverage if you're looking for like an Eric Lindros style trade by pretending that you're still on the fence about it. I don't know what the benefit is, but you never see it in the NFL. They don't do it in any of these sports. They never say who they're going to take ever.
I did reach out to Connor Bedard and his people to see if we can get him on here too, and they declined an interview. Just I think it seemed like the Blackhawks, they just don't want to. No one wants to confirm what's going to happen. So
did you have people when you were 17 years old? I did not have people when I was 17.
I had my parents who were my people, I suppose.
Can Scott come out and play?
Those were my people at that point. But yeah, it's he's had people since he was, fuck, I mean, what, 14, 15, probably even earlier. Like, it's
kind of really weird. Like I always talk about how strange it is to be, and hopefully some point when he's over here, you know, I can have a nice quiet sit down and talk to him about what a strange childhood he's had. Like, he's been a professional athlete for, in almost every sense of the word other than the paycheck for how long now? Like, his life has been hockey. This Patrick Kane went through this. Patrick Kane left home at 14 to go to Detroit and play for Honey Baked. And
Kane wasn't even in his draft year, wasn't considered number one pick. Like, this is like McDavid.
Yeah,
this is,
yeah, right.
I mean, this is someone who's been considered the guy. Like, he doesn't know what a normal teenage, you know, like teenage life.
That's what
is.
I mean. Like you have guys. But
I guess when you tell him it's strange to be like, what's strange? You know, like this is how things are.
It's just I'm always fascinated in general with what it's like to be a professional athlete. But for these kids who are, you know, put on this pedestal at such an early age, like, you know, if you're in the NFL, you went to high school and you went to at least 2 or 3 years of college. Usually, if you go to the NBA, you played, you were at a high school and then you went and played a year of college probably. But in hockey, you're just, and in baseball, you go to high school. In hockey, you don't really go to high school. High school sort of comes to you. You play hockey.
I feel like tennis is the closest thing to this, like the tennis.
Or like Olympic athletes, gymnasts who are like at 11 years old.
Yeah, the ones that go to like the Olympic camps and stuff like that, festivals.
It's got to be such a strange thing to be like, you know, he's going to come out here and he's going to have to live with somebody. He's not going to be, you know, old enough or streetwise enough probably to live on his own, right? He's a 17-year-old kid who's never, you know, lived on his own and has never been like a college student or anything like that. Like, he's going to have to, you know, and who's he going to stay with? Taves and Kane aren't here. Seabrook's not here. You know, maybe Connor Murphy puts him up.
Murphy just got married. Like, he's like, oh, we're bringing in this kid too.
Teenager, yeah, he just got married. You know, maybe Tyler Johnson. I don't know. I'm trying to think like who was the natural choice for him.
Seth Jones is the one that's going to be here forever, still with him. So I guess he makes sense.
Maybe, I don't know.
Lucas Reichel is you know, like, he's older than him at this point.
He's all of 20, 21 years old. It's going to be fascinating to see how he adjusts to, you know, professional hockey life without any transition period whatsoever. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking as a parent, even, like, it's like, it's gotta be like,
does he know where to go grocery shopping? Does he know how to balance a checkbook? You know, I know that's an archaic term, but you know what I mean. Like, how to handle a bank account. Like, does he know? I mean, I'm sure he has people to do a lot of these things for him, but does he know how to, like, make eggs in the morning? I don't know. Like, he's a kid. Yeah. He's a freaking kid.
No, I did not do any of those things. I barely do now, so I don't.
they need to bring a home ec back to schools. Like, my kids are going to have no idea how to do anything.
Yeah. It's funny. We have, like... We have like old phones laying around. I'm just like the 2-year-olds walking around talking on the old phone, you know, like she's never gonna have a, you know, a hardwired phone probably. So like, this is just, it's gonna seem foreign in a few years.
They like to play with the flip phone that I still have, the old flip
they
think that is ancient technology. That was when you had a text and you had to hit the 3 button like 4 times to get to a lowercase d, like, that was a big deal to me.
It's odd how many flip phones like I have around the house right now. Like, the kids are just like, they're running some kind of operation. I don't know what's
going on. My daughter's 11 and she's just finishing up 5th grade here, so she's going to middle school next year. So she's like, Dad, I need a phone. All my friends have phones. I'm like, oh my God, I have to get her a phone. And I'm just like, I'm dying inside at the thought of it.
Yeah, no, we've told Maeve, who's 5, we've told her at 11, like, that's when she can get her ears pierced and, like, get a phone. Like, I just figure it's far enough down the line that we can revisit all the numbers.
Yeah, but that's what I always said, and now it's here, Scott, here.
Yeah, no,
middle school's coming, I'm terrified.
But yeah, we have John Paddock on today, and we'll talk plenty of Connor Bedard, and obviously a lot of Connor Bedard stories and some things previewing the draft, and, you know, we'll look forward to the draft and free agency and the development camp at all. Even it will be at the scouting combine, and Laz is actually popping out this more playoffs. So he'll be covering the Panthers and Hurricanes, the Tavo Gustav bowl.
I'm writing nothing but Tavo and Gustav. That's all I'm writing. The bosses are not going to be happy with me.
Oh, Ranta, right? Who else is there?
Oh, and Ranta. Yeah. Ranta. Is he ever going to play again? Anderson kind of took the net from him. Who else is out there? Yeah, that's a good question. I'm just going to write Ranta stories. I don't care if he's playing. I'm just going to write only on.
Yeah, no, just ask if you can sit with Ranta for a game and get his thoughts.
I got to talk. You know, I covered an Islanders Hurricanes game in the first round, and I talked to him afterward, and he was just so happy just being there, winning hockey games. so yeah. happy to yeah. see me. Like, he's one of the very few guys that like actually like in the NHL who actually like enjoys talking to me. I think he enjoys talking to everybody. He's like, hey, he's always happy to see you. You know,
yeah. And Forsling and Teravainen are both very late. They don't say I mean a whole lot, but they're both laid back too.
Yeah, Tavo's going to be like, oh, hey, how are you?
Tell him that John Greenberg continues to tweet out his photo from Finland. So.
Oh, yeah. He's Greenberg's a little obsessed with that photo. I don't know.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we'll have plenty more content coming. And so, yeah, enjoy our interview. And we will have at some point, we'll be back with another podcast. There's some different ideas of other people to interview, even some former Hawks and whatnot. So we have other plans. But until then, yeah, we'll talk to you soon. And yeah, here's our interview.
Well, we're very happy to welcome in John Paddock, the GM, coach, and I believe VP of hockey operations for the Regina Pats. John, welcome to Laz and Power Show. Appreciate you coming on.
Glad to be here. Thank you, guys.
So obviously, you know Connor Bedard just about as well as anybody, and he's all anybody here in Chicago can talk about. So tell us a little bit about Connor off the ice. We've seen the gifts. We've seen the highlights. Tell us a little bit about the kid that the Blackhawks are sure to draft number one overall.
Well, a very well-mannered, brought-up young man from his parents in Vancouver. And, you know, he's what he does on the ice is a product for the most part of what he does off the ice, because his basically it seems like his sole focus is training / getting better, working out his skills, shooting pucks. I know his routine right now in BC is about three skill sessions a week and a power skating and a shooting and a 3-on-3 or something. So he's a young man that's all bought into being a hockey player.
Do you recall the first time seeing him on the ice and what you thought?
Yeah, the first time I saw him was at a Pat Quinn tournament in Vancouver, probably late in the 2018 season, I think. Late in the calendar year. And I happened to meet his dad then, because his dad was I was sitting with one of our scouts and it's close by. Yeah, he was an underager in that tournament in the game I saw against Alaska, and he was, you know, more than likely the best player.
Did you have a thought, you know, if I get to coach this kid, what, you know, I guess when you get a talent like that, where as a coach, where do you sort of start, or where's kind of the beginning point with coaching a kid like that?
Well, I'm not sure. I wasn't coaching at the time. I was just the manager. I was after a Memorial Cup, hosting the Memorial Cup. So I don't think I thought too much about it then. I knew that his talent, and we'd made a trade to hopefully acquire that pick about a month before, and we were able to. It was a long ways. It was 15 months off from the draft then at that point. So it was a lot of hope, and the next season had to be completed. But I will say, when about him the next year, probably when I would go see him play, or after we'd actually won the pick, and I'd come back, and the head coach Dave Struch and the assistant Brad Aeroff would say, like, you know, what's he like? And I said, well, at 14 coming 15, he can shoot the puck harder than anybody on our team.
Yeah.
And we weren't, you know, we weren't playoff team. We weren't a great team, but still we're talking guys were 6 years older than him. He was 14. So, yeah, there was a lot of excitement that he created for us.
Everybody always talks about his shot and just how deceptive and quick it is, and how the puck's off his stick in a millisecond. Where does that come from? Is there a natural ability there, or is that just something he's honed over the years?
Well, I think there certainly has to be a natural ability, but I think he's, as there is other players in all sports that have, you know, are dedicated and practice a lot. But, you know, my understanding is, you know, every day in the summer, you know, he's shot 500 to 1,000 pucks since he was about 9 years old. So I think it's the perfect example of practice makes perfect, or close to it.
With a player like that, where he has so much just creativity and you know his offensive skills, What sort of freedom do you give him, or what sort of boundaries do you give him as a player to, you know, to kind of, I guess, to keep him honest, but also, you know, to allow that freedom?
Well, I don't know exactly how to describe that. I mean, every players are different. They want to be the best. They want to be in key situations, whether it's offensively or defensively. Connor was young when he came here. You know, he's young going to another league. He realizes he has lots to learn. But I guess in that aspect, I would talk to him as I would any other player or players or top players. I mean, fourth line guys don't have as much freedom as your first line guys. You know, when you talk about, say, you know, I think what all coaches talk about, turnovers at the offensive blue line or in that area, neutral zone turnovers. Well, if you're Patrick Kane, you turn it over, you know that you got a chance, that he has a chance to score, tie that, or balance that out at the end of the season or at the end of the game. It's the same with Connor, whereas your fourth line players that score 5 goals a year and have other value to you, when they turn the puck over, they're not probably not going to, you know, tie the game back up or get that goal back. So I think things like that, we talked about with them. We talked about time on the clock. We talked about our schedule, you know, of games, of how fresh you are. Just different little things that go into any hockey player's game. But at our level, our schedule is probably a little more condensed when you hit more 3s and 4s and a few 4s and 5s. So just, you know, basically things like that for him to think about.
You mentioned how young he is, and he is. I mean, he's significantly younger than a lot of these other prospects of his quote-unquote age group. But, I mean, you've played in the NHL. You've coached in the NHL. What attributes does he have that are NHL-ready right now in your mind?
Well, his shot, for sure. I think his ability to make plays. So it means, you know, basically seeing the ice is also elite. You know, you hear a little bit of, like, you know, his skating slightly off. Well, who's it slightly off to, like, for me, like, you know, we rate, I think, a lot of teams in all of hockey would have a scale of 1 to 5. Maybe some have 1 to 10 or whatever. So if the 5's a top, like, his skating's a 4, so it's far better than average. It's never going to be a problem. So, you know, he has all those attributes. He's competitive. Yeah, he's right now he's 5'10", 185, but today's game, that's not small. And you see guys like Braden Point and Barcel, they're not really, nobody's Kane. They're not bigger than him. So he has all the attributes. But I think his shot and his ability to make plays, see the ice, would be the first two things to jump out at you.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The past couple of years, we've been talking a lot about the lost COVID season, how that's affected player development and scouting, everything like that. Obviously, everybody knows what Connor can do. Are we past the point where that development's been stunted for these guys, this age group? I mean, is this a fully developed player?
Well, he's fully developed. He did a lot of things that year. He went to Sweden for 2 or 3 months when our season didn't start on time. And then we had the hub, and then he played an under 18, but I think that's definitely was true. It didn't help the scouting evaluating phase of that age of players and a year younger. And it set some back in our league, I think, from what they were in Bantam. But I think that, you know, just back to his will to be a hockey player and be as good as he can be. I think he'd be one of the ones that, you know, more than overcame a strange season. It didn't help us as a team any, him playing 15 games in a hub that year, or couldn't draw any fans anywhere. There was lots of negatives, of course, to COVID, but I personally think that, you know, he's probably right on track.
You talk about his size, and I guess the one question we get sometimes is whether he's envisioned as a center or a wing. And, you know, just talking to the Blackhawks amateur, you know, director yesterday, he said, you know, he thinks he's a center. Do you have any thoughts on whether, you know, at the next level that it's compatible?
I think in due time he'll be either. I think it'll be a, you know, question that they'll, you know, look at and answer as training camp goes. I know he wants to be a centerman. That's what he's played, but, you know, he's had great success in the world.
There we are.
Hey, yeah.
Sorry. It's all in our office. It just, everybody's computer went out, so.
Oh, okay.
Dante in a panic mode here.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But it wasn't on our end.
Yeah. You were talking about the center and wing.
Yeah. I think he'll be very effective star player at either one. I guess I'm certainly not trying to discourage him from anybody from thinking he's not a center this year, but if you think realistic about it, I mean, he likes responsibility at everything, but like an 18-year-old going to play center, you know, against McDavid and all those guys, you know, does it make more sense to be on the wing? Quite possibly, I guess, but depending who the center is going to be and his line mates are going to be.
Well, that's just it. He's going to rock it right to the top. He's going to be, you know, he'd be their number one center next year right away. So
I checked the map out.
How is he away from the puck? We only see the offensive highlights for the most part. How is he responsibly defensively?
I think he's like any other 18-year-old, 17-year-old. He was junior hockey player that I think you could say the same thing about, well, we played Matt Barzal in the finals when he was 19. He was a superb offensive talent, but I think he did some things defensively that you wouldn't be wanting to happen, but he went to a place where, you know, everything was stressed and without the puck in the island, and he changed that. So, and you know, sometimes junior teams, especially, you have to win games. So you know, you have a little bit longer leash on ice time, or, you know, if a player like that is coming back, you know, a little bit slower, a little bit more tired, you know, he's got gas to go the other way. So those things happen. But I would say this last year, there was a goal that he scored, sorry, that he set up last year that he skated through our goal crease to get a pass from a defenseman. And up inside their other team's blue line, he made a play that probably only he can do, behind the back pass to somebody and fed it over. They fed it to somebody else to score a one-timer. Like you hear coaches say, like low and slow in your own end as a centerman. Does he have that perfected or being the guy back to help defense? Well, no, but he knows how to play it. He knows that that's important. So in due time, he'll be a solid two-way guy, whether that's right now or not, you'll see in September or October.
Do you worry about the expectations? I mean, everyone's, you know, like, you know, his talent's real, but it's also an 18-year-old kid who's stepping into the NHL. Like, how, like, do you, are you concerned about that, you know, just trying to live up that hype and him trying to do too much, you know, at such an early age?
Well, I think about it a lot when I'm asked different questions about, you know, comparisons, et cetera, many things. And it's like you don't want to put any more pressure on him in my mind. But, like, he's been living this kind of pressure. Like, albeit this is the highest level, it's going to be the most people watching and the most media and so forth. But, you know, really since he was probably 11 or 12 or 10, whatever, he's always been the best player who was scoring X amount of goals. And I think that he's done nothing to say that he's not going to be this type of player with us. It's no guarantee, of course, but he's done nothing. Like his habits and his play and his ability and stuff. So it seems to me that those kind of guys, they just have that ability to rise to that top, that they, you know, yeah, they have slumps of three or four goals, or it's magnified with guys in the playoffs and stuff, but they, you know, they are what they are. And yeah, I think that he knows he has an uncanny ability to handle those kind of situations and the questions and so forth.
He does seem abnormally polished for a 17-year-old in terms of the way he presents himself, the way he's on the media. You know, he's already deferring to his teammates and all that. Is that him putting on airs, or is he that away from the cameras too?
No, that's him overall. I mean, I'm sure the pure dressing room amongst his peers, he likes to have fun in some sort of way and stuff, but he's, I've used the saying an awful lot, but, you know, I think that starts at home, and he's been well brought up. And then I think, you know, when you start at this kind of level of everything, you know, he's got an experienced agent group that probably is, you know, throwing reminders out. And, you know, even us here, we've seen good players come through, or, you know, captain of the team, he's going to set a good example. So I think it's genuine for sure.
Yeah, a lot was made about how he didn't want to get traded. You know, he could, you know, a guy like him in junior hockey could have easily gone to a Memorial Cup favorite, but he wanted to stay with his team. What does that say about him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, he made a, you know, when we were, he wanted to come to us after the fact, is what I've been told by his parents, and of the three or four teams that could have won the lottery. And he made this his team, and he was the captain, and, you know, he didn't want to go, and we didn't, you know, there was certainly, you just have to look at the junior hockey trades or any hockey of a top player. There was certainly longer term value to us if that had happened. But, you know, he sold out. We had 20 straight sellouts in the road. It was excellent for the Western Hockey League and us as a team after World Junior. So there was a lot of benefits to him staying. You know, our brand has been all over the place. You know, I have friends down in Florida. The kids wore Pat's jerseys to practice, and he told me that, you know, people after Christmas started to recognize who the Pats were, and then the Stahl brothers said something about, you know, the player up there. So it was something that was basically a mutual thing, and he got us into the playoffs in 7 games, and I thought we were going to win that series. But yeah, he's a loyal guy.
You mentioned line mates earlier. Is there an ideal type of player that for him to play with?
I think you need to be able to make plays, at least one player on a regular basis at a pretty high level, maybe be able to make plays. And I think every good line, you know, probably or potentially has, you know, somebody that creates a little bit of space for them, but is still a good player if you think around the league. But there's certainly combos of Marchand and Bergeron and Draisaitl, McDavid, the different guys. He needs, you know, they'll be even more productive if when there's a good player beside him, like those kind of combinations, whatever that kind of player is or is down the future for the Hawks. Like, he'll need high-level guys playing with him to be what he is or what he's going to be, and he'll help them be something too, just like numerous star players when you look around the league over the years or now even.
Have you talked, I imagine the Hawks, like all the teams have been through, have you had talks with them before and after or since the lottery?
I talked to Colin Fraser the most. He seemed to be the one that was in here, at least reaching out to us about interview with him and another player on our team, and then leading into the draft. And then I texted with him after the draft, you know, of course saying, you know, congratulations. And so Colin's the one that I've had. I was sort of semi-regular to regular contact, whatever you want to call regular, probably okay, 7 or 8 times this year.
Going back to the last question about line mates, does he need, you know, from your experience as an NHL coach, does he need a little snarl on that line? Does he need someone to stand up for him, to protect him? Does he have a little of that feistiness in him? Like, what? Do you need that kind of combination?
Well, he's got lots of feistiness in him. He's very, very competitive. But I think you do need, you know, game keeps changing probably more all the time, but see the playoffs and stuff. You need somebody to create space and or, I mean, a team needs some size. You can't have all smaller guys. I mean, it's, you know, what does Jack Eichel have now playing with him or the guys in Dallas? There's a combination there. So, yeah, I think that they just, in the end, the Hawks are going to be a good team. They'll have a little bit of space makers probably on every line. Or I remember we played them in 2010. The series changed when Joel put Bufflin up with Taze and Kane.
Right.
Changed the series because then he started banging Pronger and we were playing four defensemen and it wore him out. So, you know, the different combinations slash, you know, it'll be how the players are drafted and picked and traded for, you know, over years. But I think everybody does. You know, I think everybody needs a player that creates a little bit of thing or speed or something. You think of Toronto's lineup. Matthews and those guys have different guys with Marr, but there's those two guys, and it's been Bunting, and it's been different guys that do different things for them. So Chicago, Luke, the team management, they'll figure out, you know, in their mind, what kind of future or potential combination would be best.
This is a kid that's been written and talked about so much, you know, at such an early age. Is there anything we don't know about him or anything that people might find surprising about him? Or
any hidden talents? Did he sing? Did he play guitar?
No, he doesn't have many other, I don't know what other things that, you know, take up any of his space. I think that, you know, it hasn't been, you know, I've said it a lot because we see it, but the seriousness of him towards the game of hockey is really, really high. Like I would, you know, he's got to prove himself on the ice over time here, and he will. But when you talk about the attitude of these kind of guys, like I was with Zdeno Chara in Ottawa, like that's all seriousness all the time. And I've heard many different stories about Crosby and that seriousness at all time. Like Connor's like that. Like that's him. That's his drive. His personality is to, oh well, his nickname was Mr. Serious and with you guys in Chicago. So, you know, it's going to be like that. Like there's nothing going to stand in his way from being the best hockey player he can be. Like he'll make sure of that.
Sounds good. Now, John, appreciate you coming on with us. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks, John.
Thanks.
See you down there sometime.
Yeah, sounds good.
See you in Nashville, probably.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, good.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks. And I know that I can't fix it. I can help even just a little bit.